Let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots Training Camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. It's supposed to be tough. The NFL. Training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
Two practices to review, actually. A morning and an afternoon on the sixth day of Patriots training camp. Double sessions. Paul Perillo alongside me, Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly. Just fresh from the fields on a breezy, overcast, comfortable though. Comfortably breezy day here in Foxborough. Camp, not quite the dog days yet as far as the temperature goes, but starting to hit the wall a little bit, Paul, as far as the mental aspect of camp is going. I don't know about you. You look like you're distressed looking at your laptop at the moment.
That pouting temper tantrum
was
I lost the last couple of posts that I had up in my blog. My battery ran out just as I was
laptop issues, something that happens to PFW in almost every training camp.
Because we get the leftover laptops,
right,
that no one else wants and are of no value to anybody. And that's what we're...
Even though they're of big value to us and to our listeners.
But anyway, I agree with your assessment of the weather. It was quite comfortable.
Morning practice, not a lot to talk about, Paul, as it was a walkthrough. Kind of expected since they had the late practice last night that you attended for the season ticket holders in the Gillette Stadium Bowl. If you want to talk a little bit about that practice, we can, because in the podcast from yesterday, we didn't get a chance to do that. We did that before the practice.
Yeah, it was a pretty lively practice. It wasn't overly physical. It was mostly passing game work, much like this afternoon, I thought. But it was pretty entertaining. The one, you know, sort of negative was that Wes Welker wasn't dressed for that practice, and I think probably a lot of the season ticket holders, many of which may not have the opportunity to get here during the course of the day to watch training camp practices, didn't get a chance to see Welker out there in full uniform last night.
One of those just precautionary
veteran moves.
But
you know, I don't want to just make a blanket statement. I would assume that
because we did see him out there.
He had
again
practiced
today.
Three consecutive days in full pads. Three consecutive practices, I should say, in full pads, and they gave him the night off. And then, as you pointed out, he was back out there this afternoon for the full pads workout again. So, yeah, I can only assume that it's one of those things that maybe he was a little tired coming back, and they gave him a little rest.
Reading your Paul's calls. Practice 10 update from last night, I noticed that Zoltan Mesko was unleashing some bombs.
He was quite impressive, I thought, last night. They did two sessions of punt work, and the first one was from, you know, pretty deep in their own end, and he just let loose, I would say, five or six in a row, really high, long kicks. Every one of them had the return man backpedaling several steps.
Good
and
sign.
Then the second session... They did some plus 50 work. He wasn't as impressive in that, but every one of them was, again, very high, and they all induced fair catches, but none of them probably as close to the goal line as maybe Belichick would want.
Inside the red zone, but not inside
mostly
the 10
around
or 5.
The 15, 17-yard line. There was one, I think, that he had around the 9. So probably wants a little bit more on that, but no, we talked earlier in camp about Mesko, and it seemed like two out of every three were good. There would be a miss hit somewhere. Not one miss hit to be found.
That's good.
And again,
he's
today,
progress then.
Today, this afternoon, I thought he worked on some directional stuff.
Yes.
They were toward the sideline, but not shanks
purposely.
Toward the sideline. They were purposely there, and he kicked them the way he wanted to.
Yep.
He had one that was
perfect.
As good a directional kick as you'll see. It was probably about 50, 55 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculously high in the air and right on the sideline. It was almost impossible to even catch it.
Right. The coverage unit formed a perfect, like, umbrella right around the returner. So he had the sideline and then a bunch of returners, coverage guys,
right,
pocketed around him, so he would have had nowhere to go. Thomas Williams made a name for himself a little bit last night.
Yeah, he was tackling everybody, which was kind of funny. He had one play that he was pretty tight on Rob Gronkowski. Gronk made the catch, turned upfield, and Williams was kind of dragging on him, and he just broke the tackle and kept going. Two plays later, they hit Edelman quick, you know, out of the slot, quick out, and it was a was a different play. It was a quick wide receiver screen. Butler came up, would have blown the play up. He got right up to – he was right with Edelman, right as Edelman caught the ball, and he kind of, you know, put his two hands on him and then backed up. Edelman just runs, as they always do during those
– As they are wont to do.
They are wont to do. But, you know, they keep running, and about 5 yards downfield, Williams comes out of nowhere and tackles him. So he guess he's looking to make a name for himself.
Anything else stand out from last night that we should discuss?
Last night, I just thought it was lively. I thought Brandon Tate made one of the best plays I've ever seen, even though it didn't count. He made a catch in the back corner of the end zone that was just phenomenal, but he definitely didn't have his feet in bounds. That drew a large response from the crowd. It was a fun practice to watch. It was short. It was only about an hour and 10 minutes or so.
That's typically the deal with those season ticket holder practices, though. They're late at night. They're sort of a light, not really lighthearted, but it's not quite the intense practice that we see sort of in the beginning of camp.
I mean, and beyond that, I don't think there was anything, you know, overly impressive that stood out to me. I mean, I think there was some good work done. The passing game had its ups and downs. Today, I think the passing game had more downs, especially late. I thought early in the practice, the red area stuff, I thought the passing game looked good. Some 7-on-7s, I thought, when the team period in the goal line, I thought the offense looked good. Later, they did some teamwork.
Down in distance and two-minute drill.
Situations and two-minute drill, and the defense absolutely dominated. They were either sacking the quarterback or just completely stifling the pass routes.
Right.
And that was pretty much every play. When Brady was in there, when Hoyer was in there, it didn't matter.
So that was hang on, my computer just froze up too, Paul, so I have to reboot there.
Look at that.
As well. But so this morning's practice, a walkthrough, nothing really to speak of there. But this afternoon's practice, I was just going to run down the attendance list, but I might,
well, the one guy who returned this afternoon was our friend, PFW friend,
yes,
Thomas Clayton,
yep,
which was nice to see. He was out there. He had missed the last several practices. Beyond that, the bad news was Patrick Chung joined the walking wounded. He was in shorts with a group that included Ron Brace and Mike Wright, Jonathan Wilhite, Terrence Johnson, one other guy.
You said
Chung,
Wilhite.
Oh, Lockett,
Johnson.
Maybe?
No, Lockett wasn't there.
No.
Pryor, Brace, and Mike Wright. That rounds
out
the
I
six.
I thought there were six. Okay.
Right, Chung.
Okay.
Johnson. Wilhite. And then the three defensive linemen.
Okay.
Pryor, Brace.
Pryor. I missed Pryor.
Pryor, right, Brace,
so
Wilhite.
That was the group. And the other, I think there were 12 guys out, counting Logan Mankins.
Right. Slater, Lockett, Guyton, Mankins, Kazier,
all the same
Ty
names.
Warren.
All the same
Pretty
names that have been out
names.
For a while
right.
now. And I think you might be starting to reach the point of concern with guys like Ty Warren and Nick Kazier,
who aren't out there at all.
And are frontline players.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't really care if they're out there or not in terms of injured. They're not on the field. I assume they're doing rehab in whatever capacity.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I'm not as worried as much about the fact that they're not out there as much as I am about the fact that it's been, you know, in Kazier's case, 8 practices now. Mm-hmm. Or, I think it was the 4th practice he got hurt in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've now have 12 under their belt. We haven't seen them since.
Right.
So that concerns me, especially with Mankins' situation the way it is.
Right. Today we should note August 3rd, the 33rd birthday of number 12, Tom Brady.
That's correct.
And as has become a camp tradition, somebody in the crowd started the happy birthday chant when they got down in the red zone area and did that work. Signs welcoming him and celebrating him. A young fan at one point was pretty quiet, yelled out, "You're my hero, Tom." So some love for Tom Brady on his birthday.
Were you sad that no one said that to you?
Well, my birthday's in January, so
I'm talking about the hero part.
Oh no, that's okay. I know that they feel the love, so it's okay. I don't need to hear it.
You know, you mentioned Eric that the morning practice was a walkthrough. We should probably point out that a little bit of a change this morning. Rather than listen to Bill Belichick's press conference, we had a chance to talk to special teams coach Scott O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
He addressed the media and he talked about a variety of topics. One of the things that stood out to me was talking about Mesko, and he admitted that they have tinkered a little bit with his mechanics and they're working on some of the techniques, mm-hmm, and whatnot. He did admit that he had done a lot of the running style in college, although they were comfortable with the amount of traditional kicking he did at Michigan as well.
Well, enough, he had 4 years
enough
of tape,
to evaluate
which he mentioned. You know, yeah. Mesko was a 4-year starter there at Michigan, so they had plenty of tape on him.
But a couple other things that stood out from O'Brien's talk, I thought he was asked a question about Kyle Arrington, who has really come on as a guy. Midway through last year, he jumped onto the special teams units and made an immediate impact. And,
yep.
And he talked about, well, yeah, when you have a guy that's that gifted in terms of the size and the speed and the athleticism, you put him in positions where he's going to make plays. Now, they either make the plays or they don't. If they don't, obviously you get someone else to do it. He made the plays.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the guys that are going to make the tackles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't, in other words, just because he's the guy making the tackle doesn't mean he's a better special teams player than somebody else that might be doing just as good a job. Those guys are put in positions to make tackles. It's like inside linebackers on defense. They're going to get the tackles
right,
because that's
where
they
where
play.
The ball, right, that's where
but
the
if
ball
you
goes.
Can't make the tackle, someone else is going to replace you. So he had some, I thought, some pretty good praise for Arrington. And what else did we talk about in that special teams work? Anything else to go to?
Well, the kick returners and punt return units, there's a lot of competition there with
that
the younger
players.
He
didn't get into more specifics in terms of some of the players he thought were in the mix, which I wanted to ask about, but
I mean,
couldn't really weasel my way in.
Yeah, we've seen the usual crop of Tate, Price, Edelman, McCourty's in there as a sort of an up man
Butler
on the kickoff return. Butler a little bit.
I want to see more of Butler and Tate
because logo.
I think those are the guys that have the explosiveness. And he did talk about weighing that.
Mm-hmm.
You have a guy with explosiveness, and that's all well and good. But if he doesn't have the good decision making and the ability to protect the football and secure the football first and foremost, then it doesn't do you any good.
Mm-hmm.
He talked a lot about how much the situation goes into the decision as to who's back there.
Right. So, you know, there's plenty of special teams topics, competition, areas of concern that, you know, he covered about 20, 25 minutes worth in his press conference, which is, you know, at times 10 to 15 well, at least 10 minutes longer than Belichick often goes right before
that
practice.
That was a long press briefing.
But it wasn't like there
Absolutely.
Were filler questions. I mean, they were all legitimate questions that he was being asked. All the areas that were brought up were actual, you know, legitimate areas of concern or areas where there's competition. And
right.
I thought the questions were all worthy.
Well, yeah.
You know, and he did. I think he did a pretty good job of answering.
He's not up there every day. You
right.
Know, so, you know, you let it go a little longer.
Back to this afternoon's work. Like you said, a lot of passing. The focus of the work. I'm starting to get a little concerned, though, when we do get into the red zone and goal line situations, that they're having trouble scoring on the ground. They have to rely on Tom Brady's arm.
Absolutely.
Play action fakes, getting it to usually the tight ends in those situations.
Algie Cumper today, wide open, coming
Sure,
coming
excellent
underneath.
Play fake, yeah. In there to block, ran a great route, got a touchdown. But that seems to be the trend in these early, we're not even a week into camp, but we're starting to see that the offense is having a tough time pounding the ball in on the ground. They have to rely on the arm of Brady to get it in there. I thought a mixed bag of coverage. I think we mentioned this early on. Some of the defenders made some good plays or were just there in the right spot to make the play, but the offensive player came down with a nice catch. Sometimes it was just great routes by the offensive player.
Yeah, early I thought in drills the offense really had the upper hand. I thought the red zone drills, like we said earlier in the podcast, late it was all defense, which was, I guess that's kind of what you want to see because, you know, it's a little bit of that. You don't want one side to always come out on top when it's your own team that you're talking about. I thought Fred, you know, our illustrious leader, made a good point. You know, the two-minute drill at the end really sputtered in. You know, Belichick was barking out some situations, you know, third and 10,
sure.
50 seconds, no timeout.
No
you had to get in field goal range, stuff sure. like that. The end of the game, you know, the clock was running. Brady had to spike the ball. He yelled out 11 seconds, second down or first down from the 11, I think it was.
Yep.
They ended up scoring a touchdown on that.
Yep.
So they have
Hernandez got
wide open
on the goal line.
So they had some drives that got stopped. I mean, the defense just came out ahead. And Fred just turned and said, it's kind of like a microcosm of what we saw last year.
Yep.
They've been completing a lot of passes all day, but now they had to put a drive together and they couldn't do it.
Right. It'll be great a week from today when the Saints are here in town because then we can see how the offense stacks up against another defense as opposed to our own and how the defense stacks up against another offense, a pretty powerful one in the Saints.
Yeah.
So we can kind of, maybe get a better barometer of where both of those units are
right.
at this
and,
point.
And hopefully, and I don't know how that's going to work. You know, it's been a while. What, like I told you, the last time that they did this, they had any kind of work, inter-squad work.
About 10 years ago,
was
right?
with the Giants, and they didn't even have full pads on. You know,
oh,
they,
really?
Had, they had the shells on underneath, yeah. and they had no contact whatsoever. I'm hoping that they have pads on, and I'm hoping that it's ones against ones. I hope that the starting defense for New Orleans is out there when the Patriots – offense is out there. You know, we don't always get a chance to see the Patriots starting defense against the Patriots starting offense. Now, we did during those passing drills that we talked about late in practice today.
Right. Well, that wraps up day six, the 12th practice of training camp. Another two tomorrow, Paul. We'll be back for both of those.
We will.
And we'll be back here in the studio to wrap it up and talk about it again. We're almost there. We're almost there.
We're about the halfway point.
About the halfway
right?
point of the tough part of camp. Camp's obviously going to last for the first couple of preseason games, but the tough part.
Yeah, because when you have the double sessions every day, you know, we get tired.
We do. Mentally drained. Our computers are dying on us. We're barely able to speak
But
at this
I would
point.
Say tight ends, rookie tight ends, they continue to impress, and I wanted to throw that in there before we said goodbye.
Absolutely.
Aaron Hernandez, Rob Gronkowski, every single practice, they show up.
I concur. Join us again tomorrow at this time.
Big hands, I know you're the one.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.